Vibes! Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Moments, here alongside me as always, legendary coach, two-time NBA champion, the rookie of the year on this podcast. Ooh, the wow. MVP of his other podcast, Coach Brendan Sir.
Yeah. I actually am better on your podcast than I am on my own.
It's because you don't have the vibes on your one. I bring the vibes to every episode. You know what I'm saying, Coach?
Man, I'll tell you what. I love the playoffs.
And so we got
some interesting things going.
Do you know what I love more than the playoffs, though?
NBA 2K26.
You know me so well now. Because if your team is out of the playoffs, you can rebuild your franchise on NBA 2K26. This is one of my favorite things to do. I go into my GM mode where I can live my dreams of being a GM and rebuild any of the franchises I want. And not only that, you can create expansion franchises. So if you're in Seattle, you want to put a team in Las Vegas or anywhere in the world, you can also add that. And then you can redraft, do an expansion draft. The whole thing is crazy. That's what I'm going to be doing. Now that the playoffs are ticking on and we've got less games happening, you got to find something to fill the time. And I'm actually going to do a lot of rebuilds. I might even make videos about them because the NBA draft lottery just happened, which makes things very interesting for next year. So we can actually start thinking about how some of these teams are going to navigate not only the draft, but the offseason as well. And also, you can do in the MyGM mode, someone will have uploaded this year's draft class and you can actually go through and draft some of these players. So with all of that being said, Coach, the NBA draft lottery was tonight and we have the results. I do love NBA draft lottery night because of all the conspiracies around it. I do enjoy reading some of those, but we had an interesting result. The Washington Wizards, the number one pick in this year's draft, one of the most anticipated drafts we've ever seen. Number one, Washington, number two, Utah, number three, Memphis, number four, Chicago, and so on and so forth. We'll get to it, right? Aside from Washington being the obvious winner here, Coach, which team were you most surprised at? You know, the Bulls jumping into the top four, Pacers losing their pick. What was the standout moment for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think by far the Pacers, who at one point had the worst record in the league, and then, you know, ended up pretty much at second, I believe, and then to not even have a pick. Very disheartening.
For you guys who don't know, they traded their pick in the Ivica Zubac deal to the Clippers, and the pick was protected 1 through 4 and then 10 through 30. So if the pick landed between 5 and 9, the Clippers would take it, and the pick landed at 5.
It's actually a pretty good deal, and it protected Indiana with a bad record. And they basically sat Zubac the rest of the year to protect that. And, you know, so they did everything they were supposed to do, and it still didn't work out.
But here's my thing. If you're the Pacers, right, you're not that mad because essentially you're getting Halliburton back next year, and you've added Zubac to a team that made it to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Right. The only player you've lost, Miles Turner. I personally think Zubac is better than Miles Turner.
Well, no, Miles Turner had a disaster in the finals last year.
Yep. And, I would go out there and say if they had Zubac instead of Turner in the finals, they would have won the finals.
They would have won the thing. You know, so I think the thing that hurts them is they also gave up, I believe, a 29 first-round pick.
Unprotected.
And I think there's a pick swap also in there. So, I mean, but, you know, Zubac's a big-time player. Mathurin got to the Clippers, which is a great thing. They also dumped another contract onto the Clippers. So, you know,
Coach, are you a fan of wrestling?
WWE, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so wrestling is obviously fake and scripted. Okay.
Not fake.
You know what I mean, though.
Script.
The winner is determined, right?
They say.
Yeah, but they have these moments in wrestling because they can control the script, right? Of like, this guy's going to appear from nowhere. And the funniest thing in the world that could have ever happened would be if tonight the Clippers get the 5th pick. Cool. They did it. Great. Then Adam Silver appears from nowhere and says, because of the aspiration situation with Kawhi Leonard's contract, we're actually taking your pick away. That would have been the funniest thing that could have happened.
It ain't over till it's over.
Okay, wow.
That is pretty good, my friend.
Yeah. I just think Adam Silver just drops down from the ceiling on Invisible String and says...
And the guy that wrote the whole aspiration case, Pablo Torre, you know, who's the...
He won an award. What did he win?
Pulitzer Prize.
So Pulitzer Prize winners. I think my friend Amin Hassango won for being part of that as well. So shout out to Amin.
Possibly. But it was... Pablo did a great job.
Yeah. Interesting times in the NBA. But let's go through this draft, Coach. Let's look at the Washington Wizards with the number one pick. They, this season, traded for Trae Young and Anthony Davis. They now have the number one pick, joining a very talented young roster. Off a way too early prediction, how good do you think the Wizards could be next season?
Not
without knowing who's going to be the number one pick.
Not very good.
Even with Trae and if AD's healthy?
AD won't be healthy. Never is, never is. AD and Trae Young is, he's okay. He's a good player, but he's not a player that, will take your team because of the defensive thing, I think, you know, that'll be a little bit of a problem. But they got some good young guys. And if they pick who everyone thinks they'll pick in A.J. DeBonsa, they will have a star. Mm. They will have a star. How he adjusts on a team, kid really wants to win. How he adjusts to a team that doesn't win a lot, who knows? Maybe he can turn him. But he is the key because almost off the bat, he's the best player in the team, which is kind of incredible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very unusual. Very unusual.
Hand him the keys to that franchise.
And with two quote unquote near max players on your team,
yep.
And he's the best player.
That'll be an interesting dynamic to see how that all plays out.
Yes.
Their number two pick went to the Utah Jazz. So teams that have been fined during the season for their attacking seem to do all right. The Utah Jazz get the number two pick. They've got a very interesting team after their trade for Jaren Jackson Jr. And there's a lot of different players that they could select at number two. And guys, we're not going to do a mock draft of who we think is going where, because a lot of these picks could be traded. Teams could go in different directions. We're going to wait a little bit and do that closer to the draft, right? But just looking at the direction of that Jazz franchise, a lot of people are speculating that because they want AJ DeBonsa apparently so much, they could look to trade up to the first pick. They could also look to trade down. Danny Ainge is running things over there in Utah. When he had the number one pick with the Celtics, he traded down to third to get a future first round pick and then took Jason Tatum as well, while Philly took the number one pick for Markelle Fultz and the Lakers took Lonzo Ball at two. So there is speculation around the Utah Jazz. That's why we're not doing the mock draft right now. Their direction will be.
I'll just throw, you're right on the DeBonsa thing. That's who they want. Cam Boozer's dad,
mm-hmm. Carlos.
Carlos played for the Jazz and also is a scout for the Jazz.
Yep. Yep.
So
much like Rick Brunson is an assistant coach for the Knicks.
Yeah.
So there's that. It'll be interesting. And that's why it's interesting they traded for Jaren Jackson Jr. because they play the same position, Cam Boozer and Jaren Jackson.
They didn't know they were going to be able to get that, but they still wanted to bounce it, as you said.
Yeah.
That's their number one guy.
And he played his college basketball in Utah. The number three pick, for the first time in a long time, something good has happened to the Memphis Grizzlies. I think they needed that. Where they can send Ja Morant this summer, or if they keep Ja Morant and pair him with this young star now and see how that figures out, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, they're going to get a potentially a fabulous player there.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous player.
Well,
and so will the Bulls at number four.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to say. Like, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and they were like, who deserves to win the lottery, right? Like, who deserves to win the lottery? I was like, no one deserves it, right? No. Okay, cool, but... Like, you know, if you're thinking which teams could do with having a high pick or jumping up in the lottery, you think about the Kings, you think about the Nets, but you also think about the Chicago Bulls, who have been in no man's land for so long. Remember at the start of the season, Coach, I said they're just a perpetual play-in team. They didn't even make the play-in this season. So for them to get the fourth pick, and they can get someone really good. Obviously, the top three that everyone talks about is DeBonsa, Boozer, and Darren Peterson. But you've got guys like Caleb Wilson, who are very interesting. They could get really good players with this number four pick.
Yeah. Most of the people in the league think the draft starts at pick number five.
Wow.
The first four picks, for the most part, they feel pretty solid about that one of the four players will be picked there. You know, and by that, you know, we mean Caleb Wilson, Darren Peterson, A.J. DeBonta, and Cam Boozer. Mm. You know, and then at number five, that's when the interesting stuff starts. That's
where it gets really interesting, because the Clippers have the fifth pick, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Now, if you're the Clippers, you just traded for Garland, who's a younger player. Do you sell on Kawhi Leonard now and see if there are any takers for him and start to move your franchise in a different direction?
Trade Kawhi?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think he has 1 year left, and I at his age, you know, I think he's about going to be 35, and he doesn't want to leave Southern California. I'm not really going there. I'm not really trying to move him. He's still box office, and he's such an elite player.
He's amazing. Kawhi, for Jimmy Butler in the 11th pick that Golden State owned. Because Jimmy Butler ain't going to play next season, gives the Warriors one more push. They've just re-signed Steve Kerr.
They will not trade that. They will not do that.
Yeah, they can't.
No, I think I don't think you can trade Kawhi because of the aspiration situation.
Yeah.
You have to wait and see how that plays out.
Yeah. At number six, the most devastated, or the second most equally devastated, the Brooklyn Nets fall to number six.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they've had five first-round picks last year, and I don't know what they're going to do with this one.
Hopefully it goes better than last year for their sake.
I have no clue what they will do. None.
Mm.
They need help at every position.
Yep.
You know, and Porter Jr. is probably the best player in the team.
Well, I saw an interview with Michael Porter Jr. or a live stream of Michael Porter Jr., and he said after he didn't make the All-Star team this season, he just stopped trying. Because there was nothing left to play for, which I thought was really weird for a player to admit that he just stopped trying. But Michael Porter Jr. will say anything if you put a microphone in front of him.
All I'll say is it's on tape. So you heard it.
There was also another one. I saw his podcast of him sitting down with a certain female, and he was telling her the NBA, you know, they do like the rookie. What's it called? The welcome to the league. What's it called? The rookie
transition. It's a rookie transition.
Yeah, the transition thing. And he was saying the NBA has a slideshow, and they have like, you got to stay away from these types of women. And it's like the girl he was talking to is the one that they use on the slide. And he says, yeah, the NBA tells players to stay away from you. And I'm listening to this and I'm like, so the NBA has told you to stay away from her and she's on your podcast or you're on her podcast? What's going on, Michael Porter? Like, what's... You need to get to a...
I know too much about him, so I can't comment.
Yeah, I ain't saying nothing.
I've known him since high school. Know his dad, know his brother.
The irony of him saying the NBA tells us to stay away from you specifically while he's talking to her on the internet in front of the world, insane. At number seven, the Sacramento Kings, very disappointed to fall to seven. And I've got a few things to say about this, okay? Because the reaction from a lot of Kings fans and media people were like, oh, they were so bad and then they won games towards the end of the season and that's why they've dropped to seven. They should have just lost those. You don't remember, they had a coin flip with the Utah Jazz.
Sure.
If they win that coin flip, they have the second overall pick in this draft and no one is saying any of that. So, okay. The other thing I want to talk about is a reporter. I believe his name is Tom Haberstroh. Yeah. He put something out this week. He said, I think if AJ DeBanta, if the Kings were to win the draft lottery and pick AJ DeBanta, I think he would pull an Eli Manning. Now, I don't follow NFL, so I had to research Eli Manning. And it turned out the team that drafted him, he refused to play for them and they had to trade him. So he's a reporter, pretty big, well-known. And he said that he thinks that if the Kings won the lottery, AJ DeBanta would refuse to play for the Kings. He didn't offer any evidence. He didn't offer any sources. So I'm here now, coach, and I'm going to put the record straight. And okay. I don't do this sources say things. You know me, no. I keep it on. No, but I'm going to do it one time. And this is not a source from the Kings, okay? This is a source from the player's side. Let's go back to before the draft lottery took place. Do you know where the kid AJ DeBanta would have loved to play? Do you know?
No idea.
The Sacramento Kings, believe it or not.
Wow.
The Sacramento Kings, so that he could revitalize a franchise that has been struggling for so long. So for then a reporter to come out and say on a huge platform, oh, he will refuse to go there, based on what, Tom Haberstroh? What are you basing that on? Because you've not heard any information within the situation. You're just coming out to shit on the Sacramento Kings like media people love to do. And I think that's pathetic and embarrassing. Yeah, so,
that's very embarrassing.
Because it's not a news story, but all these accounts aggregated it, saying AJ Levanson will refuse to play for the Kings. No, let's get the record straight. Let's call it what it is. If they had the number one pick and they picked him, he would have been thrilled.
Yeah, I don't believe we've ever, that I can remember, anyone ever doing that. Eli Manning was a real deal. That happened. And John Elway also did that in football as a quarterback. Refused to play for Baltimore and was traded to Denver. So it does happen in football, but basketball. Oh,
Ace Bailey tried to. He had a weird situation last year, and you saw how that worked out. So
we won't comment on Ace, but you know, it could be done, but not when you're up this high. You know, Ace had dropped anyway.
Yeah. But my thing is, if you're a reporter with a big platform.
You
can't just make things up and put them out as if they're real. I think that's irresponsible. Someone's got to keep these people accountable, and I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, do that. It's good.
So, anyway, Sacramento Kings get the 7th pick. I would like to remind people also that our friend Scott Perry, the last time he was working in Sacramento before he left to join the Knicks, he's the one who drafted De'Aaron Fox for them. So, his track record of draft picks in Sacramento ain't too bad. So Scott, I think they're in good hands.
Scott knows what he's doing. He's a super pro, and he's got great eye for talent. So he's always done well anywhere he's ever drafted.
You know what was pretty cool, Coach?
I'm sorry?
Do you know what was pretty cool? Something happened today. So my little sister came around to my house, right? Had some food and whatever. And I'm like, I've got to watch the draft lottery. So I put it on the TV. And when they're showing the representative for each franchise, Scott is there representing the Sacramento Kings. Yes. And she goes, oh, my God, it's the guy from your podcast.
Look what happened to him.
Yeah. She goes, why are you still
sitting on the podium? Yeah.
Why are you sitting here?
I'll tell you what, this podcast is powerful.
Yeah, we've got to watch out for when Coach leaves me this summer and goes somewhere.
My goodness gracious, I hope so. Goodness gracious.
Well,
bring your sister around. Jeez almighty.
Number 8, the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks, who I feel bad for the Hawks, because a couple years ago they had the number one pick in a draft that respectfully was not the strongest.
No.
And they got Zachary Risacher, who has not panned out for them how they would have liked or hoped. They now have the 8th pick. And, you know, a lot of people, this is another thing. Everyone's clowning Joe Dumars. Oh, he gave away a potential number one pick. I think it turned out all right. I don't think Joe is sitting at home mad that he made the trade for Derek Queen with the Atlanta Hawks getting the 8th pick.
No.
So they.
I think the Hawks, to your point, will end up with a better player than they got at number one.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
There's going to be really good players there.
Yeah, our friend Jay Billis was saying on the show that there's 9 to 10 guys in this draft that are future stars.
I think so. And maybe 7 guards in the first 10 picks.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Very guard heavy draft. Which leads us to number 9, the Dallas Mavericks, who could pick up a nice little guard to pair with Cooper Flagg, the rookie of the year.
Yeah, I think they're going to end up with a really good player. They need a lot of help at all kinds of positions. They got Kyrie Irving coming back. You know, I just think that they're now in a position now where they could. There's going to be so many good players coming down to them that I think they're going to end up with a really good, solid player for them. And they can go different ways. They can go with an elite shot blocker. They can come with a really good wing player or another point guard that can play both ways. So I think they're really in good shape.
And yeah, they hired Masai Ujiri to run things over there in Dallas. And they hired, is it Mike Schmitz?
Mike Schmitz is one of the best GM evaluators in all of basketball. Has been for the last 5 years.
Draft specialist, used to work for ESPN. And if you go through, you know, you can go on his Twitter because it's still open, and you go through all his old tweets. He's pretty spot on with a lot of his predictions.
He's big time.
Yeah,
they're
in good hands over there in Dallas.
And he's a very hard worker and just a perfect combo for, I believe, for Masai.
Mm. At number 10, the Milwaukee Bucks, who made a big time spending spree by hiring Taylor Jenkins to be their coach. He got the bag. They got the 10th pick. Obviously, all the rumors are circulating around the Giannis Antetokounmpo trade. They don't control their pick for a number of years after this. So getting a bunch of picks in return, I don't think will help them too much, because if they trade Giannis to a team, then the team's going to be pretty good and the picks are going to be pretty bad. So they're looking allegedly for a star player in return. And obviously all the rumors right now are about Jaylen Brown, but that's another conversation that we can have later on. But the,
there's possibilities of things, because, you know, this is the time of year when you get knocked out, Philly, Boston, and Minnesota, you know, if they lose or whoever. And that's where you want to make some moves to improve your team, because you just know you don't have enough.
Yeah.
So Milwaukee and John Horstel deal. But I definitely feel, as we've talked about many times on the podcast, is that I believe Giannis will definitely be moved for the draft, so they can get draft equity down the road.
That's what I was going to say.
And
is
look at the teams that have the most picks.
Oklahoma City's got all of them.
They are not going to trade him where he wants to go. They are now moving him where they want to go.
Okay.
They don't care where he wants to go.
I think teams may be hesitant to trade for him because he wants a contract extension. And if he says he won't sign it there, then I don't know if they throw all their chips in that basket.
Yeah. Well, no one else can pay him in the league.
Yeah, that's true. but I think the owner also came out and said that they want this cleared up before the NBA draft.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's going. Yeah. I think we're on the same boat.
Number 11, the Golden State Warriors. Getting some young blood in there. They've not been too successful in the draft recently. James Wiseman didn't pan out. Jonathan Kuminga didn't pan out. Moses Moody's got a horrible injury now. So they've not done too well in a draft lottery in recent years.
Nope. No, I think they're going to do something. And this is where the draft starts to thin out a little bit. They have good scouts. They know what they're doing, how they'll adjust to Steve coming in.
Steve Kerr, re-signed with the Warriors for 2 years, turned down a reported $7 million a year from ESPN. And my favorite part of that was...
$18 million is better than $7 when I went to school.
My favorite part of that, though, Coach, was ESPN put a clause in the contract saying he wouldn't have to appear on any hot take shows. Basically saying, you don't have to work with Stephen A. Even though we're paying Stephen A. $100 mil.
Not a year. Okay,
overall contract. The deal for Steve Kerr would have been 14 over 2 years. But Steve Kerr returns to the Golden State Warriors, and we can see how they try and figure that out. And number 12, the team with all of the picks, Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I think they're going to be he's at the top. He's doing this so far. They're going to maybe blow through sweeping two series. He's sitting there with the most picks over the next 7 years. I think Sam's going to do something dramatic.
Really? Even if they win again?
Yes. You cannot sit still. You can't sit still. And he's got a chance to really do something special by going out and making a Giannis acquisition or trading way up into the top, whatever, to get someone he really likes and giving three or four picks away over the course of time.
Yeah.
You know, he can really make it tempting for a rebuilding team. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
That guy, he knows how to take risks. That's all I'm saying. I admire him.
Yeah, because they also have to think like, all right, cool, we've won these championships, but the Spurs are going to get better and better. Wemby's going to get better and better. We got to find a way next year. Because I was looking at this earlier, and we'll talk about this later, but I'm watching the Spurs Wolves, and I'm thinking if the Spurs win this series, we're going to see an OKC San Antonio Conference Finals. If you had to guess over the next 10 years, how many times we see OKC versus San Antonio in the conference finals? I bet it'd be more than five.
Oh, absolutely. Over 10 years, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got to load up and prepare for Wemby.
10 is ridiculous. Over the next 5 years, probably four.
Yeah. At number 13, you have the Miami Heat. A lot of Heat fans were relying on a big jump in this draft, but they are picking late in the lottery. Interesting situation for them because they're kind of trapped in no man's land. They're not good enough to compete, not bad enough to go out and get a high pick.
Yeah,
the lottery did not favor them.
You had a 1% chance of going anywhere in this one as the Hornets did. So I think, And there are a couple of guys there that could help their team, but not move them where they want to go.
Yeah.
And they are a destination team, but they're not a, you know, so, you know, they only have really a couple of guys that are movable in a good way, movable. Yep. And this pick is not something that gets anyone real excited. So it's going to be interesting. But I know Pat and I know Spo, they want to win so bad, they'll exhaust everything.
Yep. And then at number 14, the Charlotte Hornets, which is nice for them. You know, they had a nice year, a lot to build on. Add a key piece at number 14 who can be a nice role player for you. I think that's a pretty good spot.
They need some size, and there's a couple of guys there that could help them.
Yep.
I think.
Yep. We're going to talk more about the NBA draft and all of that as we move on. Do you know what I was thinking, Coach, while I was watching this? I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in Brad Stevens' house whilst this was happening. Because the Pacers lost Haliburton and then tanked their way to it. And obviously they traded their pick and the Clippers ended up with it. But I want to know if Brad Stevens was sitting there thinking like, man, if we had just tanked this year like the Pacers did, we could have been getting the fifth pick or a higher pick and then resetting the franchise and saving myself some money. I would love to have known his thoughts whilst watching this.
Yeah. Knowing Brad as well as I do for 20 years, he loves to win. And let's put it this way. Brad might want to strategically do what you just said, which is sound business. What an organization. But then you'd have to find a new coach because Joe Mazzulla wouldn't go along with it.
Jalen Brown ain't letting him lose either.
Because even if Jalen didn't play, he would have played those other guys, all those guys that no-name players, like the guys he started in Game 7, and they would have won. You know, Joe's a heck of a coach.
But that brings us nicely to the NBA playoffs because the Celtics were eliminated by the Sixers, who went on to get swept by the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks playing the best basketball I've seen them play in a very long time. And that says a lot considering they were, a top five offense and defense in the regular season. They are playing unbelievable basketball.
They and OKC are the two best teams in the league right now. Right now, even above San Antonio.
Yeah.
That's how well they're playing. They're connected at both ends of the court. And they did the last two games on the road without OG, who had been their best player in the first two games of this series.
And you know what I really like is when a player starts proving people wrong, because for years we sit and we joke about Karl-Anthony Towns' defense and, you know, he's going to get exposed. He's been real good on defense. I've got to give him his credit.
They have a really good defensive coordinator in there, Brendan O'Connor, who's really sound, really comes from a great background. And he's really just taking complete control over their defense and they're really connected. The hardest thing to do, Mo, is a new coach coming in or new players, star players coming to a team, it usually takes at least a half a season for everyone to understand what everyone can do.
Yeah.
Coaches to understand when to get the ball to what player where. And as good as Mike Brown is knowing all these guys, you never know a player till you coach him. And I think their defense now, everyone's bought in. And I think, frankly, you have to go through that by losing games. And now the players now say, I now understand what you're telling me. Yeah, I get it now. Because
they won seven straight games. They won seven straight games in the NBA playoffs.
And the two games they lost to Atlanta by 1 point each. Think about that.
There's something about these guys called Brendan and being assistant coaches with amazing defenses, eh?
He used to work for me.
Yeah, the Brendan. He did. The Brendan band of Brendans.
Good Irish, guys.
Yeah, the Knicks advance and they await in the conference final. This is great for the Knicks as well because they get to rest up whilst the Pistons and Cavaliers battle it out. Detroit up 2-1 in the series. They could have gone and got 3-0. They could have stolen that in Cleveland. They were close to it. But how are you seeing the rest of this series shaping out, Coach?
I think you said it really well last week before that, you know, I think it could be it's going to be a seven-game series. I fully, there's a saying when you get to certain rounds, round two, three, et cetera, we used to say to our players, expect to play seven games every series. Expect this to be seven games so that all of a sudden if you get beat, don't get upset. We're going to have to go seven games. You're going to have to win on the other team's court, et cetera. And I think each team's capable of winning on the other team's court. But I like Cleveland to win game two. And then I think it's dogfight and see if someone breaks through on the road.
You mean game five? Or game four.
I think game four will be won by Cleveland.
So I want to give a shout out to James Harden because he gets a fair share of criticism for not showing up in the playoffs. And the numbers are there and so on and so forth, right? We're not going into all of that.
No.
He saved them in game three. Down the stretch of that game, it was the James Harden show. Donovan Mitchell couldn't get anything. It was James Harden who saved them. So when everyone comes with these narratives, because they forget the minute details of game to game, they just remember the overarching picture. So when the Cavs are eventually eliminated, they're going to say, oh, James Harden disappears in the playoffs. So, hey, he kept them alive. Because if they went 3-0 down to Detroit, goodbye.
He's an amazing guy. Left-handed players are really hard to guard. Mm-hmm. And also, the guy's 35 years old.
36, I believe,
and
now.
36, and I'll tell you what, he still plays pick and roll, top five players in the league of pick and roll basketball. And he's strong. He's got a great, strong body. And he competes, you know, and he's got a lot of pride. And I'll tell you what about James. They talk about his off-the-court stuff, but the guy loves to hoop. Yeah. He loves to hoop.
You know, my favorite part is James Harden doesn't have internet.
Yeah.
You don't look at it. Don't care. So in the post game, after he saved them in game three, the reporter was like, there's a lot of chatter online about this. And he's there like, what do you mean? What chatter? I've not heard anything. James Harden ain't got internet, bro. Like, he don't care. So,
I love it.
Shout out to them. And the thing with James Harden is like, you can see clearly he's lost some of that first step explosiveness or the ability to blow by something. And I'm like, bro, he's 36. I think LeBron being 41 and in such great shape has twisted everyone's minds.
Yes.
Because if we went back 20 years and saw a 36-year-old player playing like current James Harden, everyone would be like, what the hell's going on? So, you know, we just have to take these things into account. Not everyone is superhuman like LeBron. James Harden is 36 and he's still, he's had some bad showings in his playoffs, but he showed up when they needed him to in game number three. Let's swing over to the Western Conference, where the OKC Thunder are 3-0 up against the Lakers. Maybe the Lakers steal one at home. Either way, Lakers going to lose this series.
Yeah, I mean, unless someone gets hurt, I think OKC's on the mission to close out and rest.
Yeah.
To get Jalen Williams hopefully back as soon as possible. And so they understand, even though they're young, they understand about how important it is to close out a series and get some rest. So I expect them to do that.
Yeah. I was reading something earlier that was quite interesting, right? Someone said JJ Redick has been playing the perfect schemes and everything. He just doesn't have the personnel 100%. To do what he wants to do. But the counterpoint to that was, well, if you don't have the personnel, it's not the perfect scheme. You've got to find a scheme that fits your personnel.
Yeah, no. Well,
do you get it's a philosophical debate?
No, I think what's happening is he's getting to do things to get the ball out of Shea's hand.
Yep.
Problem is everyone else is killing him.
Yep, AJ Mitchell went crazy.
That's what I'm saying. So all these other guys are playing great. They're doing a good job on SGA. But the other guys are killing them. Mm. So the scheme to get the ball out of SGA's hand, just like it was against Anthony Edwards tonight, San Antonio plays. They're both playing a modified Jordan version.
This is what happens in the playoffs. You take away the first option for the other team.
They're trying to do that to the key player at key times.
Mm-hmm.
Except the other guys are such good players.
And they're doing this without Jalen Williams.
The Jordan rules worked because the guys on their team could not make an open shot when they were left open. The guys, you know, tonight with Minnesota and the guys on OKC, they're making the open shots. BJ was not one of them.
Shout out to BJ Armstrong.
No, it was Paxton and Steve Kerr, those kind of guys.
BJ
was not in the squad yet.
he
never missed an open shot against me.
So we have the Thunder patiently waiting in the conference finals against either the Spurs or the Timberwolves, who are tied at two games apiece. a thrilling game four. Wembanyama ejected for a flagrant 2 elbow in Naz Reid, and it's like he said a few days ago, he refuses to carry the burden of hiding his emotions, and he took it a bit too literally because he was clearly getting frustrated by the physicality of the Timberwolves, and he just unleashed his elbow on Naz Reid's neck.
I was worried that the NBA somehow was going to say, let's not throw out maybe the one of the three best players in the game. But it was the right call because you're not allowed to hit anyone above the shoulders in the head with a violent elbow that caught the guy. We're lucky he wasn't hurt badly, Naz Reid. But it was the right call.
Well, I think about it the other way, Coach. I think if you're the NBA, it's not about keeping a top three player in the game. It's about, yeah, let's eject him so the Timberwolves can win this one and we have a longer series, TV views. That would be the logical thing to do. But I'm not saying that he didn't deserve to get ejected.
That's your wrestling idea. Yeah,
I'm just saying.
You think Adam Silver was on the other end of that call when they were going back to about the referees and say, he's ejected. Yeah.
The Spurs almost won this game without Wemby. Yeah. Very impressive showing from their young guards.
Dylan Harper's terrific. Mm-hmm. Wow. What a player.
And on Castle, both sides of the court.
Castle was hooping. And, yep. They were good. They were good. But I'll tell you what, they're going to elect somehow a statue to get Ayo Dosunmu there.
Yeah.
To the Bulls. Incredible. What a player. He's a terrific. They wouldn't be anywhere without him. And our left-handed guy that's come off the bench, Terrence Shannon, who hardly played all year.
Yep.
He's got a big-time NBA body, and he's tough as nails. So
yeah,
those guys really help.
I was on a call on Prime for their last game, Game 3, and Terrence Shannon Jr. was all the difference in that game for the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Mike Conley played 4 minutes at the start of the game, then didn't check back in. Yeah. Terrence Shannon Jr. was fantastic. The energy he brought on defense, he took a whole bunch of charges, played great defense. Then on offense, he's knocking down open shots. He's running the lane fast. He has been huge for them in this series. I'm really enjoyed what I've seen from Terrence Shannon Jr.
Yeah, Harper, Castle, Vassell, those guys can really guard. They can really guard. Mm-hmm. Fox is their one weak link defensively. But when you have the other guys playing so well, he's a good ball stealer.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, those guys, they're like pit bulls the way they come at you defensively. So to win, to beat them still without Wemby was still a big-time win.
Well, it's 2-2 now, so it becomes a best-of-three, Coach. How are you looking at the rest of the series?
I like San Antonio to win. I like Minnesota to possibly win 6 and then Game 7, which would be fabulous. Oof,
I need that. Yeah, game 7. The Thunder are laughing, watching the Spurs and Timberwolves beat each other up to a Game 7.
No, that's what you want. That's why they're going to win their next game if they can.
Yeah. Well, that's the current state of the NBA playoffs. Stay locked in with the podcast because we'll bring you everything else as it happens. I'm really excited for these conference finals, Coach. I'm hoping for Spurs, Thunder, and Pistons, Knicks, but who knows what will happen.
This week I'm going to go up and scout the NBA draft for us in Chicago at the NBA Combine, and I'll come back seeing all the top players there, and I'll have a report for us when I return.
Oof, that is exciting stuff. Make sure you guys subscribe to the show so you don't miss that. Turn on your notifications on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Coach, safe travels up to Chicago.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll see you when you're back with that scouting report. Full of interesting details, because Coach has an eye for things that most people don't see. He's a real veteran when it comes to evaluating players. So I wish you all the best, Coach.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Until next time, you guys know what it is. Get buckets.